Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 2, Text 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chacha kadachi pitriloka kama suravara. Vara vanita krita chala dronyam bhagavantam. Vishwa sijam patim abrita parichara pakarana. Abrita parat Vishwa sijam patim abrita parichara pakarana. Atmaikagrena tapasya aradhayam bahuba. Gagrena tapasya radhyayam bhavubha. Sacha kadachi pitriloka kamasura vara. Vanitaka vanita krida chala dronyam bhagavantam. Bhagavantam vishwa svijam patim abrita paricharya pakarana. Atmaikagrena tapasya radhayam bhavubha. Okay. Sha hi king agni dra. Cha also. Kadachit once upon a time. Pitriloka, the Pitriloka planet. Kama, desiring. Suravara, of the great demigods. Vanita, the woman. Akrida, the place of pastimes. Achala Dronyam, in one valley of the Mandara hill. Bhagavantam, unto the most powerful Lord Brahma. Vishyashijam, our personalities who have created this universe. Patim, the master. Abhrita, having collected. Paricharya upakarana, ingredients for worship. Atma, of the mind. Ekag agrena, with full attention. Tapasi, one who executes austerity. Aradhyayam babuva, became engaged in worshipping. Translation and Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, Laisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Desiring to get a perfect son and become an inhabitant of Pritiloka, Maharaj Agnidhra once worshipped Lord Brahma, the master of those in charge of material creation. He went to a valley of Mandara Hill, where the of the damsels of the heavenly planets come down to stroll. There he collected garden flowers and other necessary paraphernalia, and then engaged in severe austerities and worship. Purport. The king became Pitriloka Kama, desirous of being transferred to the planet named Pitriloka. Pitriloka is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Janti deva vrata devan pitri janti pitri vrata. To go to this planet, one needs very good sons who can make offering to Lord Vishnu and then offer the remnants to their forefathers. The purpose of the Shraddha ceremony is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, so that after pleasing Him, one may offer prasad to one's forefathers and in this way make them happy. The inhabitants of Pritloka are generally men of the karma kandiya, or fruitive activities category, who have been transferred there because of their pious activities. They can stay there as long as their descendants offer them Vishnu prasad. Everyone in heavenly planets such as Pritloka, however, must return to the earth after exhausting the effects of his pious acts. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.21, Sine punyam ritilokam vishanti. Persons who perform pious acts are transferred to higher planets, but when the effects of the pious acts are over, they are again transferred to earth. Since Maharaj Priyavrata was a great devotee, how could he have begotten a son who desired to be transferred to Pritloka? Let's read that again. Since Maharaj Priyavrata was a great devotee, how could he have begotten a son who desired to be transferred to Pritloka? Lord Krishna says, Pritrin jante Pritivrata. Persons who desire to go to Pritloka are transferred there. Similarly, Yanti Madhyanti Yo Pi Mam. Persons who desire to be transferred to the spiritual planet Vaikuntha Loka can also go there. Since Maharaj Agnidra was the son of Vaishnava, he should have desired to be transferred to the spiritual world Vaikuntha Loka. Why then did he desire to be transferred to Pritloka? In answer to this, Goswami Giridhara, one of the Bhagavatam commentators, remarks that Agnidhara was born when Maharaj Priyavrata was infatuated by lusty desires. This may be accepted as a fact because sons are begotten with different mentalities according to the time of their conception. According to the Vedic system, therefore, before a child is conceived, the Garbhadhan Samskara is performed. This ceremony molds the mentality of the father in such a way that when he plants his seed in the womb of his wife, he will beget a child whose mind will be completely saturated with a devotional attitude. At the present moment, however, there are no such Garbhadhan Samskaras, and therefore people generally have a lusty attitude when they beget children, especially in this Kali Yuga, age of Kali. There are no Garbhadhan ceremonies. Everyone enjoys sex with his wife like a cat and dog. Therefore, according to Shastric injunctions, almost all the people of this age belong to the Shudra category. Of course, although Maharaj Agnidhara had a desire to be transferred to Pritloka, this does not mean that his mentality was that of a Shudra. He was a Shudra. A Kshatriya. Maharaj Agnidhara desired to be transferred to Pritloka, and therefore he needed a wife, because anyone desiring to be transferred to Pritloka must leave behind a good son to offer yearly pinda or prasad from Lord Vishnu. To have a good son, Maharaj Agnidhara wanted a wife from a family of demigods. Therefore, he went to Mandara Hill, where the women of the demigods generally come to worship Lord Brahma. The Bhagavad Gita 4.12, it is said, Kankshanta karmanam suddhim yajanta iha devata. Materialists who want quick results in the material world worship demigods. This is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.12. Sri Ashaya Prajepshava. Those who desire beautiful wives, substantial wealth, and many sons who worship the demigods. But an intelligent devotee, instead of being entangled by the happiness of this material world in the form of a beautiful wife, material opulence, and children, desire to be immediately transferred back home, back to Godhead. Thus he worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Hare Krishna. Many things can be said from this verse and Prabhupada's purport. Particularly mentioned here, Pitri Loka, there's a planet where people can go, one who worships Pitri Loka, forefathers. That's why that planet is there. Pitri Loka is actually a heavenly planet, and that's why people want to go. But it's not a spiritual world, it's a heavenly planet. So that's why Krishna explained in the Bhagavad Gita that devotees, we don't have desire to go to heavenly planets because we want to go to a spiritual world where our Supreme Lord is, whom we worship as the Supreme Lord. And at the same time, we also belong there. That's our real home. But there are people who desire to go to Pitri Loka. Actually, they do not have the knowledge of the spiritual world. They only know that if they worship for their forefather, they go to Pitri Loka, that's also heavenly planet. They want to go to heavenly planets. But they don't have understanding of the actual, our real home, back to Godhead. So they worship the demigods. And here it's mentioned that it's very important to beget a child who's going to be a Vaishnava. Otherwise, at the time of conception, known here as a Garbhadhan Samskara, it's very important that the parents, father and mother of the child will follow the system of Garbhadhan Samskara. Basically, it depends on this purity. So if the parents are pure, they are God-conscious, and they follow all the rules of the Vedic Shastra, and they call upon a child that they will deliver the child, the child will deliver the parents. That is known as putra. Putra means one who can deliver. Like putra, tra means one who releases. Putra. A son who can deliver the parents from material existence. So the Vaishnavas, they follow the Govardhan Samskara, where they can produce a son who, or a daughter, that they're going to be Vaishnava or Vaishnavis. But they need to follow the sastric injunctions in order to beget a child that they will be Vaishnava. But if it's all in their mentality. So at the time of conception, they prepare for that time of conception. Throughout their life, if they are grihasthas, they prepare to bring a son where the son can, or a daughter can become a Vaishnava, a Vaishnavis. So if they are Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, then they can go back to Godhead. Otherwise, if they have a lusty conception, then they may go to Pitri Loka, according to here. Or they may not even go to Pitri Loka. They may stay here, or depending on the karmic complications. So, nonetheless, we need to follow the Vedic system. If we want to have a child, and that's going to be a good person, we have to have the Vaishnava conception. Everything is there in the scriptures. But it's known as pinda, which means we offer the food to Vishnu or Krishna, and then offer the dead child or parents who may have gone to Pitriloka. Actually, there are people who are in India, they follow this. On the day of their passage away, they offer food to God. They don't know God, then they offer to demigods. But usually it should be offered to Vishnu, according to here, or Krishna. And that food offered to they offer to their their dead parents, like they passed away before. And that should be discarded into the river or in the field. So everything is there in the scriptures for us to follow, but the idea is to worship Vishnu. The idea is to worship Krishna. Because overall, we need to make our consciousness pure. Our consciousness Krishna conscious. And our lifestyle is Krishna conscious. So, in every ashram, we can, when we are Krishna conscious, every ashram, we can bring about this purity. Purity is the force. So if we are pure, consciousness is pure, heart is pure, then we can have the atmosphere pure also. And the people around us, they'll be pure. And we can attract such people to us. So that's why the Garbhadasan samskar is there. So when certain people, demigods perhaps, they're attracted to come in the womb of those devotees. Because they're also, there are pious living entities who also want to take birth in the family of a devotee. They hang around. Those living entities hanging around, waiting to take birth in line sometime. When they see good parents, and then they enter. That they attract that kind of persons. But if we are impure, we are very lusty and not clean, then we attract such persons also. So this is very important. So our desire is not to go to Pitriloka or the heavenly planets. We want to make devotees who can purify the living entities and attract people to come to Krishna. Nonetheless, there must be samskara, there must be ceremonies and follow the Vedic sastras. Sometimes we say, we are Hare Krishna, we are devotees, we don't need to follow all this. We chant Hare Krishna, everything is perfect. That's true. In fact, the devotees, we follow everything more than others. Even though we are chanting Hare Krishna, we still need to follow some of these principles. Even though it's perfect, just like we do yajna ceremony, initiation time, there is yajna ceremony for opening a new home, griha pravesh, there is yajna ceremony for a child's cutting the hair, there is ceremony for different shraddha ceremony, there is yajna. And they need to follow those mantras, particular mantra being chanted at the time of yajna. But as Vaishnavas, we also need to chant Hare Krishna. Because in Kali Yuga, without chanting Hare Krishna, all those things are imperfect. They are perfect, but when you chant Hare Krishna, it makes it more powerful, more perfect. So everything, it's like the added ingredient. It's the added ingredient is the holy name on top of everything. Just like if you cook a really nice feast, and a sweet rice or a sabji, that was the main added ingredients, salt or sugar. So you make a nice sweet rice and you don't put salt, you don't add any sugar. Or you add salt in it. It makes it worse. So the most added ingredients in everything in Kali Yuga is the holy name. So you have a perfect ceremony, chant all the mantras, and you have the perfect brahmanas to come and chant the mantras. You know, for perfect timing. These things are okay, but we forget the added ingredients, the holy name. This is why we do the yajna, we also have kirtan at the end, big kirtan, and the devotee chant. Because in Kali Yuga, without chanting Hare Krishna, it will not be perfect. It will not be complete. So, In this Kali Yuga, it's mentioned here, especially in this age of Kali, there are no Garbhadhan Samskara ceremonies. Everyone enjoys sex life, his wife, like a cat or dog. So it's very obvious. In Krishna consciousness, married life is there. Husband, wife, they come together, they serve the deities. They cook together. They read Bhagavatam together. So it is very spiritual. And when they perform devotional service together, they can, if they have a child, then they bring the child to the temple, and they send to the Gurukul, they become devotees, perfectly devotees. This is the idea. Prabhupada started the Hare Krishna movement, Gurukul system. Parents, they put their children in the Gurukul. Remember, Srila Prabhupada had the first Gurukul in Dallas, in America, first Gurukul. And the children were going to their parents. They're close to the parents. So it's not good to visit the parents or visit the children all the time. They become attached to the parents and they forget to study. And they focus on from Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada took the children and he started the Gurukul in Vrindavan and Mayapur. I went to Vrindavan Gurukul. They didn't have any Indian kids that time because Prabhupada brought all the American kids to Vrindavan because he wanted them to be away from their country and their parents so they can concentrate on study and be in a Gurukul, in a Krishna consciousness. So I went there. And once in a while, when they have a time of vacation, they would go back to America, like doing the summer season. And they come back, they have new clothes and they're chubby because they ate too much, Western food. So the idea, when you live an austere life, when you perform Krishna consciousness in an atmosphere where you can focus and concentrate, you can study better. That's why we have the ashram, Brahmachari ashram. Gurukul is an ashram where you can focus. The parents don't always visit them so they can study nicely. Because parents are attached to the children, that is okay. But there's time for them to give them a time for them to study. You should not go there and disturb them. I joined the Hare Krishna movement. Straight away I was in Gurukul at the age of 6. I was still attached to my mother. I had no choice. I had to be in the Gurukul, and my mother was also in the ashram, Brahmacharini ashram. Because my father and mother, they're separated, which is good because now we can be devotee. So she never remarried. She was devotee all the time. She was a young lady, maybe under 30, and she remained Brahmacharini all the time. So I was going to the Brahmacharini ashram, Mataji's ashram, and they kicked me out because you're not Mataji. But I was still attached to her, so I was going to the Brahmacharini ashram. She said, "Hey, you can't be here." So they put me in the Gurukul. And in the Gurukul, I can concentrate. And this was in Mayapur, 1973. And that, so for me it was different because my mother was there. So the American boys, their parents were in America and they were in India, very far away. The idea is to, it's not like, artificially one cannot be detached. We have to have the knowledge, we have to have attachment to Krishna, we have to have, a taste for the holy name. He said, "I'm going to be detached, I don't want to see my parents, I don't want, But that's not how it works. Everything is Krishna's. So when you see the parents in India, we're brought up in India, we learn to respect the parents. We go away, touch the parents' feet, isn't it? Yeah, still today, their culture is there. But, so we have, and then later on I went to Vrindavan Gurukul. And in the Gurukul, Vrindavan Gurukul, my mother was in Mayapur, very far away. I couldn't see her. But I was never really attached to my mother, even from the beginning. I have a desire in my heart that, even as a child, I always felt that there's something more in this world. I had always spiritual realization that when I used to look at the villagers, the people, my father was working so hard and they weren't getting along. There's a lot of problem in family. Then I was thinking, there is something better. So when my mother brought me to Mayapur, ISKCON was just starting. And I saw Hare Krishna ISKCON. And the devotees were so happy. Hey, you were telling me, he saw the Harinam party. I had a similar thing. And I saw, wow, so many Westerners are chanting. I felt really, I thought to myself, I want to be here with these devotees. This is the idea of Srila Prabhupada making this temple so beautiful, and he brought the foreigners to India so we can attract the Indian people to give up their nonsense demigod worship and all this thing they do, to give bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness. You know, they worship the demigod, but they don't have understanding what the demigods are. They say, oh, I go because my parents do it. They actually don't understand what the principle behind. Who are the demigods? Krishna says, less intelligent people worship demigod because the main boss, back to Godhead, the God of all God, is Bhagwan, Krishna. Just like if you work in the office, they may have two people to sign the check. Isn't it? Two people. So the demigods don't have the power to do anything on their own. They need the permission from Krishna. So people, they worship the demigods in India, but they only do it because their parents do it. They don't actually understand. Krishna says, Janti Deva Brata Deva, right here in this purport. They worship the demigods, they actually worship Krishna indirectly. So if you want to go top of a building, you can take the lift and you'll be there in a minute. 10-story, 50-story. But if you take the steps, it'll take ages. So worshipping the demigods is like taking the steps. You can worship Krishna and go back to Godhead. It's just taking the lift. It's straight away. So we don't need to do any kind of a ceremonial thing, worship pitris. We just worship Krishna. But sometimes we follow these kind of rules and regulations for the sake of following. But underneath we know bhakti yoga is the highest. Just like when Krishna used to when he saw, he was following some kind of, he used to also express sympathy and sorrowness to others and the parents and like that. But he was just following that, just the etiquette, respect. So we respect everyone. We respect Mataji, respect man, because we all know everybody is Krishna's servant. So we follow, but underneath we know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here's since Maharaj Agnidra was the son of a Vaishnava, he should have desired to be transferred to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Loka. Why then did he desire to transfer to the spiritual loka? In answer to this, Goswami Giridhara, one of the Bhagavatam commentators, remarked that Agnidhara was born when Maharaj Priyavrata was infatuated by lust of desires. That's a very important point. So, even as devotees, we are carried away by lust and anger and greed. So, we have to check ourselves. Whatever we do, are we actually doing it nicely? Are we performing our service nicely? Perfection is important. Everything we do, down to perfection. You do something, you're doing it not nicely, somebody else has to do it. You know, so you're increasing the anxiety for others. So make sure whatever we do, we are doing it so nicely that we don't make other people in anxiety. You know, the temple authorities, you know, their anxiety, because we are making them anxiety. So if you do everything nicely, then everyone's happy with you. By doing that, we're making ourselves happy. So when you do service to Krishna perfectly, everything just goes perfectly. There is no one can find fault in it. That's what we have to do, perfection. Krishna consciousness is perfection. Create a child that's going to be Vaishnava, like Prabhupada. You know, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he is perfect. Guru. Guru means one who is perfect in everything. One who is full of knowledge, heavy with knowledge, perfect guru. Acharya means one who says by his example. Acharyavan. So Srila Prabhupada, he set the example. So if you have a child, make them a Vaishnava, a Vaishnavi. It's very difficult because some of our children here, the parents, they tutor them at home because they don't want to send them to school because too much maya there, bad association. That's a good thing. If they can do that, that's perfect. But I went to Gurukul and many of my friends, they only learned the Bhagavatam verses, how to be a Vaishnava, and they didn't learn anything else. There's no IT in a Gurukul. And then they all complained because we got out, we got certification, but it's not recognized by the government. They said, so we had to go to Karmi school to study all this thing again because they get married and they can't find a job because we went to Gurukul, they didn't learn. We only learned the slokas and chant Hare Krishna. But if you want a job, then you need to have a qualification. So I was the same. I just came out of the Gurukul and how do you maintain the wife? You can't find a job out there. Then I had to go to uni and get a certificate, IT, and then teach English certificate. So I went to China, I could teach English, have a certificate. I learned yoga, get a certificate from Indian school, yoga school. So I got this much certificate that I didn't use them. I'm still here, devotee. You know, it depends who you are. And if you want so many things in life, then it becomes difficult because material life cannot provide those things. His wife wants gold, bangle, jewelry, and a Ferrari car and a BMW. That's going to be difficult for a husband to provide. But if we have a simpler life, simple living, high thinking, and then we have enough. The problem is everyone's too greedy, and they have to work so hard. First job, second job, to maintain the family, it becomes difficult. But if you live a simple life, don't take too much, then everything is there. The whole world is everything is enough. But everyone's so greedy that the society becomes a burden on the people. Just like before, like 20 years ago, if you make a phone call from Australia to India, you get a big bill every minute. And I remember we were calling UK. I got $800 bill at that time in the 80s. So, of course, now things are easier. So I'm saying you have to balance it. Everything you have to balance. So if you want so much, then you have to work for it. And that's why our brahmacharis, they get married, you have to find somebody who's going to be very simple, Mataji, not asking too much. Otherwise it becomes a burden on both. And then there's a problem in their family. This is why devotee family is simple. You know, we take prasadam here, you don't even need to cook at home. Most of our grihastha come and take prasadam, bring prasadam home for the... So it's nice. You donate money to temple. This way it's perfect. You go to devotee's home, they don't have much furniture. You know, all everywhere it's temple room. Big rooms, temple, DD, big DD. I went to one Grihastha's house, they have 6 deities. Gaurnita, Jagannath, and Krishna Balaram, so many deities. And they have to take care of them, bathe them, cook for them. So they don't have enough time to for themselves. Yeah, it's like a temple. But that's the ideal Grihastha. Husband and wife, they come together, I remember one Mataji was telling me a long time ago in the 70s, she was in the kitchen. And they said, come on, you're going to get married now. And then she got married and went back to the kitchen. There's no honeymoon and all this stuff they do. It's just very quick. Her husband goes to work, she goes to the kitchen. Because everything was very desperate. Our movement's beginning days. Prabhupada would marry them, and life went on. It's not like, it's not nothing material. It was very spiritual. You know, when you get into bodily consciousness, it becomes very mundane. But when it's spiritual, it's perfect. You know, and because material things can only increase the desires. More you want, it doesn't satisfy you. So, you know, I also saw our Matajis, especially in our time in the 70s, it was very simple those days. I used to see the Matajis come from America, and they're very simple. They don't even know how to even wear a sari. Very simple, like the Indian ladies, they were really decked up, you know, very colorful sari. They were very simple saris, you know, that they bought. And brahmacharis, they were like wearing bed sheets. They didn't know what is dhoti, you know. They didn't have those dhoti in America. They would take bed sheet and color it, and they wear that. So that's why sometimes people say, you guys are wearing bed sheets. And Matajis wear really simple clothes. And they were so observant in Krishna consciousness. And that's the main thing. If they observe in Krishna, they don't have time for mucking around with the material body. They are fully surrendered to Krishna. A husband and wife, they're together only at night. They're all day at the temple. They're in a Harinam. And they're just so tired. They chant together and they go to sleep. That's it. They don't have time to do anything for themselves. The life is for Krishna and Guru. And Prabhupada would marry before people and he said, you go and open a temple. You go open temple here. Husband and wife, but they are so busy. Open a temple. And go to a place where there's nothing there and start from scratch. Open a temple. It's totally busy, flat out. A couple of years ago, I went to Vancouver and a huge temple room, but hardly any devotees. And the temple president, he was there for Mangal Arati, and then he did Tulsi Arati, then he was dressing deity. Then he ran in the kitchen. So he was the temple president and his wife. I was like, wow. And a big temple like this, Radha Krishna Deity, Gaur Nithai. And there didn't hardly anybody there. So it's pretty intense. And the husband and wife, they both were doing service. And they asked me, Prabhu, can you stay here, help us? And I said, I can. I have to go back. I have service there. So a lot of our temples are very desperate for devotees. India is different. You go to many temples in the UK, in Europe, and in America, and Canada. It's very difficult. So my point is that if the husband, wife, and the daughter, they're all serving Krishna. If they have more children, engage them in serving Krishna. It becomes very perfect. But it's not easy because, you know, it's easy, but when we want to do other things, it becomes difficult. So that Prabhu, they have their daughter, they go to school, and husband and wife, they serve the temple, that's their service, and then they go home in the evening to attend to their daughter and they go to school. So more or less, they're not like a grihastha. They're like sannyasi or a brahmachari. Because always they observe. So it's like grihastha brahmachari. Yeah. Grihastha means, grihastha, they're properly situated in the ashram. They're serving Krishna. That's what grihastha is. And then there's grihamedi. Grihamedi means one who is opposite to grihastha. So our grihasthas are devotees. They're serving Krishna. That's proper grihastha. So Srila Prabhupada, he started this grihastha ashram in our society because most brahmacharis will not be brahmacharis always. They will be married. But they can be, you know, grihastha family, devotee family. So it's nothing wrong in that, that ashram, if they can be Krishna conscious. So if you make everything very palatable, it's very beautiful. But when there is problem in the family, due to various reasons, then it's difficult to serve Krishna. So that's why they need to read the Shastra, chant Hare Krishna nicely, associate devotees, come to the temple. This way, even as Grihasthas, they can become very palatable, very Krishna conscious family. Or if they can't come, they have deities at home, they worship together, like that. So you have to somehow keep busy in serving Krishna. If you keep busy materially, that's not enough. You have to always understand human form of life is serving Krishna. And Grihastha means serving Krishna together. Have children for Krishna. Otherwise, like it's mentioned here, one becomes entangled. So we don't become entangled in the material world. We want to go back to Godhead. So everything we have, arpilutuapada nanda kishar, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, whatever I have, a family, my children, home, I offer that to you, Krishna. It's all yours. We have to have that kind of mentality. Many of our acharyas, they are grihasthas, but they are also great Vaishnavas. So it's nothing wrong, but if we can make a good family, you see here our community in Melbourne, community, you know, we have a handful of brahmacharis, but everyone's grihastha. They all come together, we have big kirtan, take prasadam together, a big turn up of devotees when the temple's open. So that's community of devotees, our family. That's very nice also. But those who can be brahmachari, sannyasi, that's good. But we have to be real, not be fake. You know, austerity and brahmachari life, sannyasi life is a very attractive life. People are very attracted to saffron cloth. It's in India. They donate money, they fall at your feet. Because you are imbibing the sannyas, renunciation, detachment. It's a very attractive quality. But you have to maintain that. People will give you respect, but underneath we know this is all Krishna's glory. I'm just his servant. So you have to always remember that. The way we can remember that we have to stay fixed up in knowledge by associating with devotees. The Priyavrata was different because he was a king and he was instructed to be a grihastha and he followed the orders of his spiritual master, Krishna God himself. So everything has a reason. If someone can be a brahmachari all the time, like the four kumars, like Narada Muni, that's perfect. But someone, when you get married, then fine. But the ashram is there, four ashram, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. Ashram is there, but daivabharan ashram, perform Krishna consciousness within the ashram, then it becomes perfect. Otherwise, it's just an ashram that you're following all these principles. Priti loka, different principles you follow, but there's no meaning to that. But you're not a Vaishnava. Vaishnava means one who follows all those things, but Krishna in the center of the family life. That's perfection. Okay, Hare Krishna. Any questions? Prashna hai. Have any questions? Well, there are heavenly planets down there too. It's called the subterranean heavenly planets. And so they may be down there, but it's a very structure of the universe. It's mentioned there are heavenly planets in this world that we can't see. Like we have the seven continents. But there are also heavenly planets within this planet that we are off limit from. So there are, if it's mentioned that Pitiloka down there, but there are subterranean heavenly planets down in Patala. They're not all hellish planet. Just like here, we have India, Nepal, Bangladesh, so many countries. But some countries are very nice to live in, like Hawaii, like a very beautiful island. Some place in South America maybe, some beautiful island. And people are very happy, very beautiful climate. We don't have to pay much, and like some place. So similarly, there are, and this planet is not a good place. So much misery, happiness, people are suffering. But there are places that are very nice. So similarly, they are down there, even though the 14 planetary system, down here is half of it. But they're not all hellish planet. Some of them are heavenly planets. It's in the base. Just like people have basement. You go to somebody's basement, they have office there, air-conditioned room. A basement is usually for car park, and you go there and put your garbage. But some people convert the basement into a beautiful place, maybe for space. And they have a kids' playroom and an air-conditioned room. They play there. So similarly, down there is a basement to the planet. And they are heavenly planets as well as hellish planet. Just like here. There are some countries are very nice to live in. Some are really hellish. Some place in Africa, you don't want to go. You know, like that. And some place here, even in Melbourne, some areas you don't want to go, avoid it. Big cities, there are like a hellish place. Drug addicts, all kinds of things going on. Similarly, the hellish, heavenly planets, they are in down there. So, like that. Just giving some example. So it's not like you go to up, it's all heaven. There can be hellish planet up there too. That may be different according to the system. So you go to up there, everyone's nice, heavenly, but you may meet someone who's really hellish and give you a really hard time. Just like here, everyone's nice, Vaishnava. And suddenly someone can flare up and give you a hard time, even though it's all nice. It's just, that's the nature of the material world. So Pitiloka is heavenly planet, but it's not perfect. It's not like back to Godhead. So Prabhupada discouraged us to go to heavenly planet because certain people go there. If you worship Piti, you go there, but it's not spiritual world. Even heavenly planets, it's part of the material world within the 14 planet system. It's just nice, there's less suffering, but it still is a material world because people have to die there. That's what he says. So if you go down, you're fine, but or if you go to heavenly planets up in the spiritual, in the heaven, in the loka, or on in the Brahma loka, is Satya loka, it's special. It's top of the universe. Because from Satya loka, Brahma loka, people are so pious they can go back to Godhead. But heavenly planets means people are always drunk, enjoyment too much. They don't want to know about God, even though they're demigod. Just like us, we may be Krishna conscious, but we have so much enjoyment, like prasadam and everything, we forget sometimes Krishna. We only think of food. Every time there's an offering, we turn up, but we're not showing attachment for chanting. But that's all good. At least one thing you're doing right, but it's like that. So demigod, they're not pure devotees, they're mixed devotees. So we are coming here with tilak and everything, doesn't mean we are a great devotee. Maybe we have a lot of desire. But at least we know we are on the path. So like that. So, you know, to be careful where we situate ourselves, you know. Okay. It's not like that. they passed away. But because they worship Vishnu, by the power of Vishnu, Vishnu is Krishna, they can get the blessing because it's transcendental. But if you worship demigod, they can't get it. Because the demigod don't have the power to transfer the mercy. Krishna has the transfer. He can transfer to wherever they are. You see, just like Krishna is sitting in everyone's heart. He has a connection, like internet. But demigod don't have that power. So if you worship demigod, they don't have the power to liberate you. But if you worship Krishna, again, like we say, worship Guru, they have the power. The demigods, they can give you money, wealth, and some material things. They don't have the power to liberate you. So particularly giving food to the forefathers for your Pitriloka is mentioned here to worship Vishnu. The food has to be offered to Vishnu. It didn't mention to worship the demigod. Because it's transcendental, they can be transferred, the mercy, the blessing. But if you worship anyone else, ordinary people or demigod, they won't get the benefit, because they don't have the power to transfer the mercy. Only Krishna. So that's good. This is mentioned, why? Because scriptures always encourage people to be God-conscious. So it's not 100% good, but if you worship Vishnu, offer the food, then it becomes prasadam. So that's spiritual. So somehow or another, the Vedic scripture, we're trying to bring people to Krishna's feet. Yeah. So that people worship Pitriloka, but they need to worship Vishnu to offer the food. And that way they become Krishna conscious. That somehow they're connecting to Krishna. See the point? So even though the scriptures say many things, but always they will bring you to the highest point where you need to worship Vishnu. So this way it's bringing the scriptures. Vedic Shastra is somehow or another bringing people to Krishna consciousness. Okay. Yoga time. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.